You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Gotta let it play. Gotta let it play.
The whole way.
Welcome back to another episode of Bison Report Radio, brought to you today by the Big Deck Barbecue Company. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum. Joining me today in the Bison Report studios is my guy, Zach Willis. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. A little Bison playoff football coming up. I'm excited.
And can we get confirmation that you're going to stop skipping the games?
Yeah, after this week. Promise I'll be there. Sorry, everybody.
It's all right. Zach is making that bread, making hay while the sun shines at the Pride of Dakota show in Bismarck, North Dakota, right?
Yeah, it's Christmas time. Everybody's gearing up, so it's a good time for barbecue sauce companies.
Is promo code Ross still good for 10% off on
sure
those
is.
Gift boxes? All right,
shout out to Tony Ambrose.
Let's go. Tony Ambrose got 10% off of a lot of gift boxes.
Yes, he did.
Let's go. Oh man, that's spectacular. Gotta love that. Get your 5% or get your 10% off those gift boxes. Speaking of 10% off, nobody gave 10% off to our guy who just gave $15 million towards the completion of the indoor practice facility. Tom Blattner of We Be Giving Foundation, Tom and Don Blattner, who do clean energy, I believe, in the state of Minnesota, is my understanding of what their main source of income is. A $15 million gift to one of what will be the finest indoor facilities for football, period. I mean, it's a high level indoor practice situation, and people don't realize this is something. My wife and I were fortunate enough to be a part of something called Tough and Together Night with the NDSU men's basketball program, and Kyan Brown was talking about not only football, the effect that the IPF has on the other sports at NDSU is tremendous. Yeah. Because, look, the Shaq is great. The Shaq is better than what a lot of Bison football legends had to deal with while they were at campus. But not having to share the Shaq with football is going to be huge for the other sports on campus.
It's 115 guys that are big and make a mess, and all that they don't have to worry about sharing a space with anymore.
Exactly. It's a tremendously big deal. And big shout out to Tom and Don Blattner for their tremendous gift. Because
promo code Zach for 10% extra on your order.
You got 1.5 million over there. Oh man, but that's awesome that keeps moving. Speaking of keeping it moving, segue. Otis Way is going to keep it moving. Right on out of Grand Forks, the top back up at UND, hits the transfer portal. Famously had some academic issues, was ineligible his first year at UND. They probably didn't have the season they wanted to have down there, and Otis is on his way out. And I'm sure, you know, as teams are eliminated from the playoffs, we'll see some transfer portal movement as we do every year.
Yeah, like you said, he's a good player, but, you know, all the academic stuff weighs a lot for people when they're bringing in transfers, so... kind of excited to see where he goes, whether he stays in the FCS, goes up, or goes down.
Yep. Other than that, in the news, I guess we've got rough showings for NDSU women at losing at K-State, and the Bison men losing to Creighton, not too far After this, though, both will, you know, kind of return back to mid-major play.
Fun fact about that women's game.
Yeah.
A little bit of a family affair with the Sundells.
Okay.
Jalen's sister plays for K-State women's basketball team. That is correct.
How'd she do?
She's their top scorer right now.
Okay.
So she's a baller.
All right.
I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it. Jalen is by far the worst athlete in the family. It's not even close.
Oh, man. All right. I think we've got to at least somewhat address the elephant in the room, which is last year's performance at Southern Illinois.
I thought we were going to get an excuse me.
Well, you might. We'll have to save that, but we got a board full of lots of stuff. Look, it's I don't know that it's tremendously relevant to Saturday.
Yeah.
Different personnel, a lot of the same dudes, especially mm-hmm. at the top, you know, like the guys that are going to make a ton of difference, but different personnel, different setting, normal football, you know, fall football, not weird spring COVID football. You know, we still have to address what happened, though.
For sure.
Because, and the reason, honestly, one of the big reasons we have to address what happened, Zach, is they were not on the schedule. And that's something that tomorrow or today, you guys are going to get this right away in the morning on Friday. Check out BRTV with Jackson Hankey coming up. All MVFC senior leader Jackson Hankey, exclusive on BRTV. Shout out Ryan Peralta in the SID room. We were able to get Jackson, and he talks about the fact that, no, they didn't, you know, people use the word revenge, but like they got, it didn't go the way they wanted, but they got at least another shot at South Dakota State.
Yeah.
There was no shot on the schedule at SIU. They were going to have to just eat that until long after a lot of guys who lost to them were gone.
Right.
And so this represents a true opportunity to set that correct, to make that right.
For people to act like it's just another game in the playoffs and that's like all that's on these guys, you'd be silly to think that, because not only was this a loss, this was like an uncharacteristic loss that we haven't had in a long time until we lost to SIU this way last year.
For sure. Punch in the mouth. That's how because it was 17 rip before the Zeb Lippi Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt as somebody happened to be, we just showed you this. We were at the Hard Rock Casino in Sioux City, Iowa, because I chose not to go to Carbondale. Sam and I stayed in Sioux City and covered, because this was COVID basketball where you played two game sets. So the Bison had two games in Vermilion, South Dakota against USD that weekend. So we're sitting watching the game, waiting, because I think it was a Friday, Sunday with NDSU's game on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we were chilling, just watching the game, and it just seemed like you guys just got whacked, just got punched in the mouth. How many games, I could look at the schedule, but how many games had you won prior to that?
Oh, geez.
I'm talking about just in the spring. I know everybody knows you didn't lose in 18, you didn't lose in 19. I mean, how many, like, get through it, whatever, because you'd beaten Central Arkansas, and then I think one or two conference games prior to that?
I was going
to
say it was either the third or fourth game.
Okay.
It was because I just remember there being separation between that and SDSU, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yep, so, for sure.
Obviously, we've discussed my memory issues on this podcast before, but it all kind of blends together. But, yeah, it was early in the spring season, and we kind of viewed it as like a, all right, we're only up from here, bounce back kind of thing.
Yeah. 3.5 yards a carry, it felt worse than that. It felt like, and I think, and I'm saying 3.5 yards a carry for SIU.
Yeah.
It felt like, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, they just held on to the ball forever. I think not being able to get off the field was the most frustrating thing when they had the ball.
Yeah, and, you know, you put it in the show notes here, 41 minutes, 26 seconds of time of possession in favor of SIU. That does not happen to NDSU Bison teams.
Yeah, sub 19 minutes of TOP is not just good. That's not anything that they are even recognizable. 40% on third down. A lot of that had to do, and again, like we keep trying to say this, Zeb was not good. Specifically in this game, he just wasn't good. And it's like, okay, why are you dunking on a kid that now plays at South Carolina months after this game? We're trying to recap what happened in this game.
Yeah, it's relevant to the conversation of remembering this game.
443 yards allowed offense to SIU. Again, not great.
It's a lot of yards.
Here are the two big stats. 11 of 16 on third down. They never got off the field.
Right. And that's the thing, like with the 3.5 yards per carry, it felt like 3.5 yards of play where it was 3.5, 7, 10.5 first down. It was like they used all those downs for every drive.
Yeah. No, it wasn't like they just bombed it all over the field on you guys. That actually is true.
It was like a meat grinder just chew them up, and then next thing, because every time they touched the ball, it was a long, winding drive that ended with a score.
Yes. Yes, just couldn't get off the field.
Yep.
And of course, 41 minutes, 26 seconds, time of possession. And I think everybody just felt gross after that game.
Yeah, it was like it was more of a shocked feeling, like, oh, God, that really just happened. And then we just had to wash ourselves of it. It wasn't like a, damn, we just got beat by 24, whatever it was.
I don't want you to give any company secrets away, mm-hmm. and I don't want you to say anything that you feel like would get us or you in trouble. But after a performance like that, are you guys getting MF'd in the locker room, or is it more of like when mom and dad look at you and tell you that they're not mad, they're just disappointed?
Yeah, I mean, it's. Halftime is when those things happen.
With the MFings?
Yeah. Yes. The yells and the excuse me's and all that stuff. But after the game, everybody realizes, like, what is yelling and screaming going to do? It's not like we came in here and we're like, hey, let's lose to SIU.
Yeah, let's get our asses kicked.
Yeah, it's more of a thing of like, you know, we have to change how we approach next week. It's more even keeled. And then, you know, Monday you get MF'd again. Yeah, but it's more of a thing where if you get beat like this, there's effort plays to show in the team room and stuff that isn't like assignment wise that's wrong. It's why aren't you finishing to the ball? Why aren't you whatever? And that's where more of the lessons get passed on rather than getting screamed at in the locker room. And then all you can do is worry about the next one, because it's hard to go out and practice after a week like that. But if you hang your head about it, you're going to get beat again the next week. So, that was kind of the process. I only went through it a couple of times, but that's how it was every time.
Okay. We're going to take a little break here and play for you. And folks, this is going to be available yesterday. Thursday, we had a video come up with myself and Bryce Lance, freshman wide receiver. He's with the Redshirt group, obviously famously Trey Lance's younger brother. And we really got into all of it, and I enjoyed the conversation. And so, look, I want you to watch every Bison Report video. Of course I do. But if you didn't get a chance to get to that video, or you're not a huge, you're not always on the website, but you are a subscriber and a full-time listener to the podcast, we love you for that too. So we're going to play my interview with Bryce in audio form for you guys right here, because I really enjoyed it and I thought it was educational for, like, behind the scenes, what are the guys that we're not seeing on Saturday doing? I just thought it was really cool.
Here with Bison true freshman wide receiver Bryce Lance. Bryce, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Haven't had a chance to talk to one of you guys yet. Talked to Logan, but he dresses. Talked to Cole Payton, mm-hmm. but he dresses. You guys are the true blue red shirt group. And I know that's famous. You know, you've got Kramer, obviously, is what makes it famous. You've got your diet plan. You've got your lift plan. You've got all those plans. What has this year been like for you? I know it was part of your plan mm-hmm. to redshirt here. What has this experience been like for you?
Yeah, it's been a grind for sure, but I've been loving every moment of it. Like you said, Kramer, all the guys, all the true freshmen that have been doing the same thing as me, just all of us, you know, working every day, definitely made us closer, making us closer. But yeah, it's been a grind, and honestly, it's making me a much better person and a much better player as well.
You ever see Cole, Logan, any of the guys that do get to dress on game day, especially at home, where you're like, damn, I wish I could run out of the tunnel just like one time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You get that? Yeah. We definitely ask him for stories or whatever, you know, from their experiences. But it's cool for them. Super excited for them, happy for them to get the chances that they have had. And hopefully they can be kind of role models for us next year as we get the opportunity as well.
I have to imagine, I told you before this, we keep the trade questions to a minimum. Yeah. But I have to imagine that this kind of is convenient. It coincides with your brother's rookie year, and I would imagine that you are able to be a bigger part of that, his rookie year in the NFL, than if you were suiting up on Saturdays.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Trey is kind of in the same situation. You know, it's kind of his redshirt.
He's sort of redshirting.
He's kind of redshirting as well. So just us kind of, you know, calling each other every day, just kind of our shared experiences. Obviously, he's been through this before, so he's been helping me a lot every day, just getting through, you know, the grind, the daily grind kind of thing, fall camp, all that stuff. So, it's been really a benefit for him to, you know, be by my side throughout all this, for sure.
How much of your time from a practice perspective is spent learning and understanding your playbook? And I know you have to help out on scout as well. So yep. You're also running the other team's plays. When do you get, I guess, when are you running the other team's plays, and when do you really get a chance to lock into, like, what's going on with Bison football?
So usually the coaches always implement what they call young guy scrimmage every week. So that's when, you know, the true freshmen or, like, the second-year guys will all run our offenses, our defenses, just, you know, like you said, get or implement that into our minds, you know, and start learning our own playbook. And then we also do scout, so we do the other team's offenses and defense as well. So, but they make sure to get both of those in there for us, for sure.
You were a hooper, correct?
Yeah, I was.
So, I mean, this has got to be, even though you're not suiting up on Saturday, you're not taking a ton of live hits, stuff like that. Like, for you, by this time, you're hooping.
Your football season is
normally over.
For sure.
What's it like being in, what is this, week 18, of football. What's that adjustment been like?
It's crazy for sure. This is definitely the longest football season I've ever been a part of. Something my body definitely was not used to, just because basketball is such a different sport than football, and just the length of the season. Not taking many hits, but, you know, the scout team is definitely a grind. Just getting hit by those older guys on the defense and things like that. But, yeah, the longer season was definitely a change for me, but it's been fun.
Number one is going to leave a pretty significant hole in that room. One, with your size and the way you play, I would assume you would like to have a say in helping fill that role. What have you learned from Christian, a guy, by the way, that did not have a tremendous impact early in his career and kind of became the player that he is through the grind? What have you learned from him?
Right. Yeah, I'm super thankful for Christian and the role model he's been for not only me but for all the receivers, the whole team. Just the way he practices, he doesn't even need to say, like, he's a good model for us. You know, we can just watch him. And I've been super thankful for, if I'm running a route, he'll let me know what I did wrong or, like, how I can make it better. And just all those things that he contributes to the team more than just, you know, making that big catch on game day is something that I'm personally going to really miss. I know the team's going to miss as well. So, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever be to fail Christian's shoes, but the tools he has given me, I'm definitely excited to put them to use next year.
No, and you're not trying to be the next
Christian. Right.
Trying to be the next Christian, trying to be the first Bryce.
That's right.
How important is it for your group and for you personally that it appears that Phoenix has decided to come back?
Yeah, that's super awesome. You know, super excited for Fee to get that senior leadership back in here and, you know, get us going again next season. Again, another guy that's a good role model for us, for the team, and really that someone that we can all look up to.
Walk our fans through, like, what your next 72 hours look like as a redshirt. Just for everybody that's watching this right now, I'm talking to Bryce on Wednesday. Walk us through what you as a redshirt are going to do Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Right. Okay, so I'll go to practice after this, scout team. My goal there is to just be better than what our defense will see on Saturdays. That's kind of my goal. Then Thursday morning, we'll have special teams meetings. We'll go there about 7 to about 8, go to class. We'll have a developmental lift Thursday at 2, around 2:15. Then we'll go to practice. We'll go to meetings after lift, and then we'll go to practice, have a meal. And then Friday mornings, we have a Diva lift at 6 a.m., so all the freshmen get up there 6 a.m. with Coach Kramer, which he brings the energy, so that's really fun. And then after our Diva lift on at 6, we go get breakfast, which is mandatory with Coach Kramer again. And then we are done after that, and then we'll go to the game on Saturday. So,
all right, thanks.
Want to thank North Dakota State SID, Ryan Peralt, for making Bryce available. And, of course, want to thank Bryce for his time. I thought he was really insightful, and I certainly enjoyed catching up with him and just seeing what's going on with the Lance family. And interesting that he pointed it out. He's like, hey, man, I'm redshirting and so is Trey. And then, and that really is kind of what's going on. So,
yeah. Bryce is by far like my third favorite Lance in the family, and Trey's number four.
Okay, yep, I got it. I understand.
Angie and Carlton tied for first.
Sure. Shout out to Angie and Carlton.
Yeah. Trey, you, sorry, buddy.
Phenomenal people. Okay. What do you got going on with the Big Deck Barbecue Company, man?
We're just pushing this gift box stuff. So, I mean, it really does not get easier if you have that hard to shop for person. Everybody and their mom has a smoker now. So I know you have somebody that likes the barbecue and grill and do all that stuff. So, I mean, four Big Deck products, $50 gift packaging, shipped right to your door. All you have to do is put it under the Christmas tree. You can't really beat that.
Cannot beat it.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
All right, let's break down the fall 2021 version of the Salukis, and let's preview this game. Let's wash our hands of all that has happened in the past and look forward and get folks ready for this game tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Friday, the game obviously going on Saturday, the second round of the FCS playoffs. Here's what we keep hearing, and look, I understand, not just because this is a team that smacked you guys around.
Mm-hmm.
Any second round team, really any team that is not great on paper, what's Matt going to say? Better than the record.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually believable here because he said that about Youngstown, say that about Indiana State, say that about...
It's just because guys on the team watch the press conference.
Right. Say that about whatever team you're about to baptize. Right. And I don't know that Southern Illinois is going to get baptized on Saturday. But you've got, I mean, this is arguable. This better than the record. I mentioned a close loss. You and I think, had just gotten home from an NDSU game. Close loss to K-State. They were absolutely in that game down in Manhattan. They had a one touchdown loss at UNI. And then they got some real question marks, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They got smacked at home by Missouri State. Missouri State's a good football team. Then they get absolutely, by the way, keep in mind, they beat SDSU in Brookings.
Yeah.
So did some other teams.
Yeah.
But they beat SDSU in Brookings. The head scratcher to me, especially, and I get, look, 100% the transitive property of football is fake. It's not real.
Yeah.
If you beat a team by 20 and that team beats somebody else, it doesn't mean you're going to beat the next team by at least 20.
Right.
It's not how it works. And comparing schedules and this and that, it's just not how it works. But what I will say is this is a flabbergasting result for them to get basically doubled up and absolutely whacked at home by a Youngstown State team that I think stinks.
You were legitimately shocked when you looked up the schedule and saw that score.
Rattled.
Yeah. No, the thing is about this SIU team is that the highs are very high and the lows are very low.
Sure.
So it's one of those teams where if you give them that injection of energy right away, they might hang around and beat you.
Uh-huh.
But if you stomp them out quick, you know, they seem to kind of lose that mojo right away. Because, I mean, senior day, what else could what other motivation do you need to play Youngstown, who wasn't a great team?
Right.
And you got, like you said, doubled up. So,
plus, I think they had if they smack Youngstown, they had an outside shot at a seed.
Yeah, and we watched them play K-State, and we're like, yeah, that's a good SIU team.
Well, because my thing has been, I love this coach.
Yeah.
And I think he, like, the Akron job, now the Akron job is going to go to Joe Moorhead.
Yeah.
Which, that's an unbelievable get for Akron to get Oregon's offensive coordinator. Unbelievable get.
Is SIU to Akron a lateral move?
Is Oregon to Akron a lateral move? Like,
yeah, that's a negative move.
I'm going to tell you what, but I'm just like, if I'm a MAC team, I am paying a lot of attention to what's going on with Nick Hill.
Yeah, because I think there are some MAC teams who are in better position than what SIU was.
Do you want to know what the score was the last time SIU was in Fargo?
Yeah.
65-17.
Played in that one.
E-stick. All yeah. up in ya.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
And the turnaround that Nick Hill has provided there is...
He's done a hell of a job.
Phenomenal. I mean, you have to have respect for that coach. You know, one thing, I don't know if I would say complain, but one thing that you and I have definitely discussed is this idea of seeding. And we talked about, you know, when we dunked on Trevor and told him he was an idiot, we talked about this seeding concept. And in my opinion, you talk about the regionalization. If you're the number one seed in the round of 16, you should be playing roughly the 16th best team that's left.
Yeah, I think, you know.
And the same thing would apply to the two and playing the 15th best team that's right. left. And when you look at this bracket, if you were like, okay, Ross, this is who's left, Sam Houston State gets the first pick of who they get to play, and you guys play the second pick, I guarantee you I'm not picking Southern Illinois. There's right. no chance.
No, absolutely not. I think it's just one of those things where even when you would whittle it down to like 8 and 9s playing each other, you're getting a true test of who would be the best out of those two.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
There's those mid-tier teams that might swing
like
by.
South Dakota State should be playing the lowest seeded team.
Right.
Because they're clearly the best not seeded team.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. We kind of had that revelation just off the top of my head when we're
after yeah.
Trev's dumb question, but like seed 16 of them and line them up like they do in March Madness.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Sure. All right. The big one everybody knows is Javon Williams Jr. Number 15, Wildcat quarterback, running back, tailback, do it all guy.
Dog.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
People forget, Zach, that South Dakota State should have never been in the title game last year because Javon Williams scored on the front left pylon.
Sure did.
And was inexplicably not reviewed.
I was actually shocked at what happened.
Blown away.
He was in by 3 feet.
It was unbelievable.
And the ref missed it. They didn't review it. It was horrible. I mean, this guy is... Since he was a freshman, has been the guy that we've yes. been game planning for.
Yeah.
He's 250 pounds, can throw the rock, can run the rock, has good vision, is patient. I mean, he's a legit good football player.
And that's
dude used to return kicks.
I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he is a very, very, very impressive guy. What I will say, and what I'm going to talk about in the second to last point, Baker is helpful in the fact that he averages 0.6 yards per carry. And North Dakota State's defense works a lot better when the quarterback is not a threat.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they're in Wildcat, the quarterback's a serious threat.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if it's just Baker, he's really not a threat.
Yeah, and we've talked about that in turning... The Bison defense thrives on turning quarterbacks one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Whether if you're a running guy, the throwing game is getting taken away completely. If you can only sling it, you're not running it anywhere. But... I mean, everything changes when 15's in there and they're running wild.
Right. Yeah.
But like you said, if Nick Baker has to beat us by throwing, then it's going to be a long day for him, I think.
Will it, though? Because Landon Lenore.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Avante Cox.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
These guys are very, very, very good players. Avante Cox has had success in the past. Yeah. People remember... Landon's brother Lance Lenore from, I believe, the University of Northern Iowa Panthers.
That's how I remember the name, yeah.
Yep. And these two are some studs outside. Going to be an interesting day for, an NDSU cornerback group that is always a topic of conversation.
Yeah, and this is the fun part about the playoffs is it really is put up or shut up. There's no more see who's good, see who's not. Like, the best 11 need to be on the field at all times, and we're going to really see who it is.
All right, defensively, they've got decent corners. I like the nickel, and I like one of the outside guys. Combs and Jules are the two guys I like. David mm-hmm. Miller on film is pretty gettable. Pro Football Focus College also does not love his work, gives up a high percentage of high completion percentage into his coverage. And Burner and Knighton, their two edge guys, have 63 pressures in 10 games. If you're averaging over three pressures a game as a defensive end. I know that doesn't sound like a lot. It's a high. It's a high.
You're making a big impact on the game.
You absolutely are.
Think about, even if we gave Cam, you know, let's try to do some quick math here. It's going to be bad.
Boom.
Let's say 24 pass attempts for Cam. Each of them get 3 rushes apiece. A quarter of the plays Cam's dropping back, he's getting rushed.
Yeah.
It's a big impact on the game.
It is.
But the good thing is that a strong part of the offensive line is you have 2 first-team all-conference tackles.
So yes.
If like I said, it's weird how this stuff shakes out in the playoffs, but it's always a game of matchups, and I like our guys in that matchup.
Okay. How do you see it going if it plays out the right way? And I think, like, this is something, and it's kind of this team and the way that they are put together. So this is not going to be something – crazy new or crazy specific to Southern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, not necessarily like South Dakota State, but these guys, maybe more than any other team that I've seen them, there is a tremendous amount of importance for me of getting up 10 or getting up 14.
Yeah, they're like... It's like I said, they're like that sparky team, like how I described Missouri State.
Yeah.
If you give them a shot, they're going to hang around.
Yep. And it's not even that I think they're poorly coached or they're mentally weak and they'll fold up shop. If you're down 17-3 with 8 minutes left in the second quarter, you're going to maybe not want to run a ton of Javon Williams Jr. Wildcat stuff.
Exactly. You're not going to be settling for the 3.5 a rip.
Exactly. You're going to want to get Nick Baker back there throwing it around to Landon Lenore and Avante Cox. And I'm not saying that, you know, Eubanks and Siegel or Eubanks and Price or Price and Talbert or whatever are like these phenomenal matchups on Cox and Lenore. But what I am saying is if the Mostarts and Lane and Shaka and Tony Pierce, by the way, 2 weeks of rest for all of them dogs.
Mm-hmm.
If all of the Alley Cats aren't know it's pass, it's a completely different defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
A 1,000%.
Like, I think it's what really is impressive, and I've seen the progression in both Braden Thomas and TP, just in the fact that, like, their read-run progression of, like, okay, quarterback has the ball, time to rush the passer, has become almost elite for both of those guys. And the way they can flip that switch. But like you said, if they know it's pass, it's like doing one-on-ones.
Right. If their ears are pinned back, yeah, then
good luck.
100%. And so you're looking at that and understanding that SIU, I think, would still be an underdog in like a slugfest. Mm-hmm. If you can make it not a slugfest, I don't think these guys want any piece.
Yeah. That they live and thrive in these like dirty, grungy, hang in their games.
Yeah.
They're built for that. And I think that's impressive. Look,
the 42-41, like the 42-41 game at South Dakota State was a track meet.
Yeah.
But it was we're always in this game track meet, not, oh my God, it's 41-20. We need to rip off 21.
And I think that's more credit to Nick Hill in the fact that like SIU was never a team where it was like a legit whoever has the ball last kind
yeah.
of situation where it can be now if you let it.
Yes.
But the thing is, we need to start fast, one, on both offense and defense, just because that's how you win ball games. But two, SIU hangs around if you let them.
Yeah, and that has been the rallying cry for Coach Entz, man. Start fast. Start fast on Monday, Tuesday, start fast on Wednesday, and certainly starting fast on Saturday. And that, if you can force a punt on 2 of the first 3 possessions for SIU and you can score – on all 3 possessions with at least one of them being a big score.
Yeah.
Don't go kick 3 field goals. But if you get to 13, 17, or 21 with the offense on the first 3 and they punt twice, I really do think the game's over.
Yeah, especially because then you turn into – like, it was really impressive that because that's what they did to us.
Yeah.
And then they ran our 4-minute offense on us for 30 minutes.
Sure. Yeah, I was going to say for half the game.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what it can turn into where, like – it's going to be boring for people to watch, but this team is built to run inside zone and power for 4, 3.5 yards every play and just rack up 40 minutes of time of possession. And the only way that you're able to do that and win is by starting fast and putting 21 up on the board.
All right, Zach, I'm going to let you go first this week. Give me your game prediction.
Let's go. I'm going to go 21-10.
All right. I've got 33-14 Bison. I think they win. I think they cover the spread. And I think everybody has a phenomenal weekend. Zach, thank you so much for coming in here and doing this on a Thursday afternoon. Thank you, Big Deck Barbecue Company, for being the title sponsor for this show. Thank you guys for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend, and go Bison.
Heck yeah.